Hi everyone, I'm your host Keshav Chauhan and this is Milliseconds, an attempt at personifying all of the things we see but don't think about. Information on your work profiles and resumes is disorganized, hard to spot and spread across the internet, which makes it difficult for your peers and recruiters to discover and interpret you. PeerList makes it easy by creating a single and most meaningful work profile ever. From being a web designer to a full-time product thinker and designer, Akash is now the co-founder of PeerList. This episode focuses on his journey in creating PeerList, his fascinating thoughts on design, and his plans for the future. Welcome to the show, Akash. This is going to be super fun. So, like, how have you been and like what are you doing right now?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me. Every last week of the month is always hectic.
Okay. How many users are there on the platform right now? I think it's been a year since you started PeerList. So
We have more than 2,500 plus.
Oh, that's really, really great. Do you think that it has been a very fast growth? Did you expect some big numbers?
It is fast because I think we were in invite-only beta from August. Okay. And then from August to Feb, we had a waitlist where we were giving access to very limited number of people to use PeerList because we were stabilizing the product and making it better and making it more usable to majority of the users. And then in March, first week, we removed the waitlist and we were in public beta. And we have grown 80% in March itself.
And you mentioned in one tweet that you did not do any marketing for this. It was It was all organic, which is very, very hard to believe, but incredible stuff for sure. word of mouth.
Yes, because it has a reason. Even before writing a single line of code, we were building audience and community around PeerList. Right? Yeah. We were talking about PeerList. We were asking questions about PeerList and the problems people are facing. And that's how people got connected with us. And that helped us to build audience around it who were fans, we could say, or the people who were cheering us up.
I think it was something on the lines of minimum viable community, which Alexis Ohanian said initially I heard him say on a podcast. Because with the introduction of no-code tools and coding being easier over the coming years, it's easy to build an MVP and difficult to grab people's attention. So
yes,
I think that's what having a community does. So now, can you introduce yourself in one sentence and give a brief overview of what PeerList is to the listeners?
Sure. So in one sentence, I'm a product designer and been doing that for past 9 years. And about PeerList, so we are trying to build a professional network and we are basically reimagining it and trying to be how we can solve the problems which people are facing. Because there are many things which has changed in past 5 years, but the platform, which are the existing platform, are still old school and they are still doing the same thing for past decades, right? There is no change and we're just trying to change that. And so far, so good. We are getting really good response and there are people who are joining and appreciating what we are building.
Yeah. So do you think that companies like LinkedIn, why do you think companies like LinkedIn are not doing this stuff, organizing everything in one place and making it a little bit difficult for people? What's your take on this?
I don't know exactly, but this is my assumption and this is my hypothesis, which we discussed many times before we started PeerList. First thing is, it's too big they can basically avoid these problems or they can leave this problem unsolved and they can afford it, right?
Yeah.
So they don't have to worry about all those things. And I think that is the problem.
Okay, so is it like that startups or like big firms like LinkedIn are so huge that they find it hard to pivot to some other ideas which startups can comfortably mold themselves into because they're very versatile and like they can pivot easily because of small team size? Do you think this could be
maybe
one of the reasons?
Yeah, maybe. Like we have nothing to lose, so we can take bold decisions and we can listen to our users, right? And we have that superpower. And you tend to lose that superpower once you grow. But it's up to you how you can channelize that and make use of it as much as possible.
So like what prompted you to make this platform of Peerlist?
What was it's an interesting story, actually.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I've learned that.
Yeah, so like we wrote about it on our blog also. Like how Peerlist started and why we are building Peerlist. But the short story is like during the second lockdown, Yogini was looking for a switch and she was trying to build and whatever she was learning and whatever upskilling and courses she was doing, she was just sharing all those learnings via her blogs on Dev. And because of that, she got a really good audience and community around front-end development and engineering altogether. So also, like, recruiters started reaching out and she wanted to, like, share all her work, which is articles, blogs, side projects, and so on. But LinkedIn wasn't helping her out as much as she wanted. And because she was also interviewing and very busy with doing the coding assignments and all those things, there was no time to basically build her own personal website. Even if she wants to build with Webflow, there is a learning curve and there is a time which requires or you have to put good amount of efforts into that as well. So we thought, okay, this is a problem which many others might also be facing, and then that was the trigger basically. Then that's how we started.
So like we can call Peerlist a mini portfolio in a way.
It is started as a mini portfolio. Now it could be everything as your online professional identity. You can call it that.
So like, you know, the first time, I'll be super honest, like the first time I was on Peerlist, I was starstruck by the experience and the overall onboarding. Then while like researching about you, like while like the questions I want to ask you in this interview, I saw all the things you have done on Peerlist. But then at some point I was prompted to check your LinkedIn. Though I already know that everything you have done is already on Peerlist. So like, how do you think how difficult it is like to mold user behavior? Because people will find it difficult initially to switch to Peerlist after LinkedIn, because that's in the same zone. What's your take on this?
So I think that's an interesting point, and that is obviously we get asked a lot, how are you gonna change that? Well, that will happen gradually, and we have started seeing those signals. What are the feedback which we are receiving? Most of them is like in form of people tweeting about Peerlist. Right. A recent tweet is we are much better than whatever platforms we already have for professional networking because we kept it very simple. And obviously, you cannot change a habit within a year or so. Right. It takes time. And with the experiments and with the kind of experience we are trying to introduce, we are quite confident that we're going to change it sometime very soon, maybe like 6 months, a year, hopefully.
Like, do you think a UI plays a role in that? Because Peerlist is very clean and very minimal, and LinkedIn is a little bit not that clean as Peerlist. What would I say? Do you think?
I think LinkedIn never bothered about user experience. Everybody knows about it because that is, they have a very different factor about like how they want to place themselves. Peerlist, as a product designer, also as a co-founder, and I had a good amount of, I could say, authority to make sure that we have better designs. And I always feel that form should be there to bring better functionality, right? Because when it is new, when you are new, a good design product makes better impact, brings more confidence to the new users, and it helps a lot, right? And also, we are not enterprise software or product. We are consumer social, where design plays a huge, huge part, and it helps to bring user and helps to perceive perception of brand and all those things.
I think in the initial like stages of a startup or any product, design can be like considered as a big differentiator if you want to like
yes.
position yourself in the market, because there are big players and you want to do something other than them, like do not copy them exactly. Like, for example, Netflix and Amazon Prime, both are the same services, while because Netflix has a better UI, better UX, that's why it gets preferences. So yeah, something on that similar lines. So I had a question similar. You want to say something?
I think we should not like get confused only with the UI UX. There are so many things which plays a role. The example which you gave, Netflix and Amazon Prime. Netflix is more of international content which they have. That also plays a huge part, and their recommendation engine is absolutely powerful, right? That also plays a very important part, and they are doing that only, right? Netflix is OTT platform. It's not giving you one day delivery of your food or some other stuff, right? So there is a difference, I think.
But don't you think Amazon Prime is also capable of doing all that stuff? Because Amazon is also a very big company. Though it's very broad.
That's not their priority, maybe. I don't know.
Could be, because in case they capture that audience, it's a very big audience, and that it could lead to good amount of profit for them as well. So
maybe
something else. So I had a question on a peer list. So like, you know, as we'll be going through the coming years, things will be mostly remote and virtual. So when I was exploring peer list, I had this thought, like, how can we like introduce tangibility to peer list profiles so that when a recruiter is looking at a profile, it could literally speak in their absence and showcase their personality. What do you think could be some of the ways to do that stuff?
Well, I think we have been asked by our users as well about this. Like, can they customize the look and feel of those profiles? And can they add their personality to it? Well, I would say not in the near future. And we have a reason for that, which is if you are placing yourself or using the peer list profile and as a digital resume or your work profile which you're going to share with your recruiters. So let's imagine a recruiter have to go through 20 resumes in an hour. This is the ideal one, like on a very nice day. What if they have to go through like different designs, different colors, different ways of reading the data, right? So how we have designed work profiles for peer list are like using 6-second rule. Can I understand about Keshav in 6 seconds if I look at your work profile, right? And that is what the basic principle which we have used. And I don't know, we will break that at least in near future.
But yeah, I completely agree with that idea. Like, a recruiter can scan easily, like skim through the profile in just 6 seconds. But don't you think that people will not be able to stand out if everything feels very consistent?
No, I think, okay. So also, peer list is more about showcasing your work, which you have done on other places, right? All the proof of work which you have created. For example, as an engineer, you have a GitHub portfolio profile where you have all your side projects hosted, where engineering manager or a recruiter can skim through your code. That is one thing. Then there is Dribbble, which is absolutely amazing for designers. Now you can also write case studies there, right? Yeah. So we are not competing with them. And also we just want to bring all of that work, which is distributed on different platforms, on a single work profile. So Peerlist is more of a work profile where you can like showcase all of this work from different part, and which is scattered all over the internet on same place, right? So that is what fundamentally work profile, like Peerlist work profile is. But I won't deny the fact that you can host your Peerlist profile on your own domain sometime and maybe customize it according to your need and according to your personality as well.
So like approaching something of sort of a mini Webflow kind of thing.
Yeah, nice.
So you know, when I was exploring Peerlist, I had came across this feature of peer. What led to this idea? Yeah. Like people who follow each other are peers.
So one of the problem which many of the users had mentioned when we were doing the survey was that I get many random connection requests from people whom I don't know, right? Okay. And they just sit into my connections and they are absolutely meaningless. I don't know why they are into my connections, right? And then I have to see their feed and what are the content they share.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the problem which we thought, how we gonna solve it. So we just thought what it should not be like two-way. It should be like only unidirectional. If I am interested in your profile, I'll just follow you and I will see your work and your post and your content. And if you are interested in me, you can follow me back. That means we have something in common. That means we our wavelength match at some level. And that's how we become peers. So basically, like, when two people, so that's basically like when two people mutually follow each other, that they become peers. Otherwise, you can follow me and I can follow you, and that's a different thing.
So like your feed will be customized by your peers, not by every random connection you have on Peerlist.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a really great idea, man. Like, I had a completely different questions now. Do you think in the initial stages of a designer's career, like you and I both are designers, you're like very far ahead into it. Like, do you think that one should like try to build something that covers the whole cycle of a product, like just to understand how design flows into other areas, like how after a design is complete, how things develop and how we're marketing it, what impacts the business, something of that sort.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That is what product designer's job is. And not from only initial days, that should be happening from day one to day N, right? I mean, we are doing only that. That is what our job is. And obviously, like initial days, you should be like focusing on having good mentors and having good peers around you, right? And that's how you're gonna groom, and that's how you're gonna learn. And I think I made that mistake that I wasn't surrounded by amazing designers or not in touch with many good designers initially in my career. And it took me like, I took good amount of time to learn all these nuances of product designing and how a life cycle of a design is and what exactly the role of a product designer is. But I think nowadays the designers which are coming now are much more mature and much ahead of their time.
I think I remember you've tweeted something based on Slack. So the UI was not consistent with the design scheme. So how does that impact the like business? What's your thought on this? Like,
it was a very light-hearted tweet, actually. I mean, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't impact the business, of course, but it impacts as a from designer's point of view. I perceive a particular brand based on what kind of a designs they do, right? We have a very high regards for the companies. As a designer, I'm talking, right? Not as a common user. As a designer, we have a very high regards for the companies who are absolutely focused on their designs. For example, Cred. For example, there are all these new startups. They are absolutely user-focused, user experience-focused. So, from a company like Slack, I just felt that, okay, this is something wrong and this design is not working. But honestly, I just made a blunder that it's not exactly like that. Their design is superb. And what I took a screenshot of was on a smaller screen, it was a responsiveness issue, nothing else. But just an example.
Like, just hypothetically speaking, like, if something or some feature, some element, some component is not horizontally or vertically aligned, do you think it can have a good impact on the business, or like people will ignore it and just live with it?
Yeah, many people would ignore it, but not designers. Or no, I think now I will, like, in last 5-6 years, even the normal users are absolutely design literate, right?
Yeah.
They have sense of design, even though they won't be talking in our language as a designers, but they understand what is good design, what is bad design. They can tell you that can you make this button bigger because I have a fat fingers, right? I cannot tap on it. Or they can just tell you that. And also the amount of time we are spending in front of screens, that gave us that muscle memory that I can differentiate between a good design and a bad design. It goes for the alignments, it goes for the colors, it goes for so many things. So,
Yeah. You mentioned like good design and bad design, and it led me to the Norman Doerr. Have you heard about it?
Yeah, obviously. Everyone should know about it.
Yeah, so my question is that, like, it's a very good solution which implemented like the push and pull thing, that we should have the handle only when we're required to pull it, and not the handle should not be there when we're required to push the door. But why has it not been implemented yet? That's my question. Why do we not see it in stores, in malls, or in theaters, in places where we usually see doors?
I think the one of the reason could be we just learned it theoretically. That could be the reason, right? Another reason, it cannot be implemented everywhere. Like, you cannot implement Norman Doerr in your house, right? Because you have to use it in both the direction. For example, my living room's main door, I cannot have it like push and then like a simple metal plate on the front, because when I leave my house, I have to pull the door to lock it, right? Yeah. So there are different use cases. You cannot put Norman Doerr everywhere, maybe like cafes and all those things. And I think I'm seeing that happening, but of course not at that larger scales.
Have you seen it somewhere?
Yeah, many of the malls have that.
That's super interesting.
And the reason for that is safety. Like, on all the fire exits, if you have ever noticed, on all the fire exits, you will always see Norman Doerr that you have to push it, because in that emergency, you really don't want to be struggling with the door, whether I have to pull it or push it. Yeah. So, that's an observation I did.
Yeah, super interesting stuff, man. So, that's just last question. What's one piece of advice like you would give to designers or generally people listening to this?
Be kind, man. I mean, I always say this. Be kind to everyone. We are living in a virtual world almost, right? And we have to be more expressive about our kindness. It could be appreciating your colleagues. It could be calling your old friend or everything. Like, just do that. And that helps a lot. Being kind doesn't cost much. I always say that. Even like on Peerlist, we were so worried about like how people gonna use Scroll, but we always tell them, like, be kind whenever you are writing to someone, because it gonna affect that person the way you have never imagined. So just think about that. Be more empathetic about other people and be kind to them.
For sure, I would like to just expand on it just with one line. Don't equate yes. kindness with weakness. That's what yes. I wanted to say.
Yeah.
It was super, like, super great. Yeah, yeah.
Same with the you being humble, taken as low confidence and all of those things. But yeah, make it a habit of being kind.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. Thanks for being on the show, Akash. It was really, really great having you. Have a great day.
Likewise, man. It was great talking to you. I absolutely appreciate the amount of efforts you are putting into this podcast, because what I have noticed when I was going through Spotify, you are being consistently publishing these episodes like every week, like every freaking week for past how many months? 4, 5?
Yeah, more so it's been almost like 5, 6 months with this podcast. I had a previous one which was called Sky. That was another 5, 6 months. So
that is exactly what we want to show on Peerless Profile, right? I mean, if you integrate your Spotify and if I can see that you are constantly posting your work every week, that shows or that tells a lot about you. It doesn't like matter then to me your craft or those become secondary thing. Your passion about your work tells a lot of things.
For sure, man. Completely agree with it. I hope it takes off quite soon enough.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. Have a great day ahead.
You too, man. Have a great week ahead. And it was great talking to you. And see you around.